All right. Are you guys into Black Mirror? Have you seen the episode Men Against Fire? So, another spoiler. Yeah, I don't hate the show. I actually really like it. The hard part about it for me is that, you know, the episodes do tend to be quite intensive. They're not, like, super calm. So, Men Against Fire is about, like, basically you see, at the beginning, you know, there's some military in the barracks, and they're English speaking, with like an American accent, and they get a call to go out to a village where the people's primary language is not English. What language they're speaking, I don't know. And the main storyline is set around one man who is, he seems kind of new. So this is his first mission to go and try to find and kill what's called roaches. And you find out that, you know, from the villagers, they mentioned that the roaches came, they raided all the food in the store, and therefore there's no more food left, and whatever was touched by the roaches has to be destroyed, so the village doesn't have any food. The military has to supply this village with food. And then they mentioned that, you know, the roaches went in the direction of one man's house, like, kind of a distance away. And so, these military members on this mission go towards that guy's house. You know, they come to the door, they try to use their interpreter device. They have a device that interprets directly from English to whatever language, so that both parties can understand. So when they were talking to the villagers, they used that device. But when they go up to this man's house, they come to his door, knock, and he cracks the door open, and they start using this device to communicate, and he mentions, you know, I speak your language, I speak English, there's no use for that device. And they ask if they can come in just to talk, and he allows them to come in. They go inside, and a couple of them are told, you know, go upstairs, you know, check upstairs, see what's going on. So they have weapons drawn, they're checking around upstairs for roaches. In the back of one of the closets, there's like this false door, and someone, you know, one of the military members knocks through the false door, and there's this whole corridor, whole set of rooms back there. So they start going through, and the new guy, the main character, sees this sheet kind of against the wall, pulls down the sheet, there's roaches there. Roaches are these humanoid types of people. They have deep-set eyes, they're almost like monstrous, they growl, scratch, jump, run, attack. So immediately he shoots one of them, and there's another one that gets shot by someone else. And, you know, meanwhile, the other military that are downstairs have this old man kind of like secured, making sure that he's not, you know, getting away or doing anything. So that old man has a knife, a small knife that he's kind of slowly positioning in his hand. So when they hear the first shots fired, he, you know, takes a stab at the lady soldier who's, you know, trying to secure him. And so they kind of have him bound. And, you know, one of the lady roaches, you see her running across the field. Someone's shooting at her quite a few times. She has, like, this cape thing on. And, you know, the guy, the main character, had a second roach behind that, from behind that curtain, where he had, the guy was on top of him, and they were both, like, in a struggle, and, you know, the roach was trying to, like, defend himself, and you see he has this device with these little green lights on it that kind of deters the military. You can see them kind of, like, feeling a little weird when that light kind of touches them. He goes and starts punching, you know, and, like, stabbing the roach, the military guy does, because he gets on top of him, and, you know, he stabs through his chest, and then, you know, waits for his last breaths, for the roach's last breaths, and then he finally has his last breaths, and then you see the military guy take his knife, and he just keeps stab. And so he's more than dead at that point. You see that there's still this light device on the ground with those little green lights on it. So this main character, military guy, gets curious. He picks up the light and kind of, like, looks at it, looks at the device, and the light kind of shines around his eyes. And he kind of seems to kind of react to it. And, you know, he kind of goes and, you know, after that point, you know, he starts having weird experiences. The dreams he has get a little weird. His target practice goes a little weird because there's one point where it's kind of glitchy. You find out that all the military members have a certain kind of implant. So when they send their drones out to, like, search around, it kind of, like, their vision can kind of attach to the drones and see what the drones are seeing. And they can scan around, all of them at the same time. And for target practice, you know, there's digital targets that kind of pop up, pop out, so they can shoot at it. And there's other stuff that happens with these implants. And, you know, throughout the day, the few days, this main character starts having these weird glitches in his dreams. It's kind of like a skipping look, you know. Things get a little glitchy. They're sent back out on another mission to go find these roaches. And, you know, but before that, you know, he sees a psychiatrist. He talks to, like, the medical staff. He mentions to the medical staff about that green device. He doesn't really talk about that with the psychiatrist. And basically, you know, I'm not going to tell the whole entire story, but I will tell the ending, that you kind of find out that the implants that the military members have are, they basically make it so that what the military sees are humans that are, they look like roaches. They look like some kind of monstrous type of human. You can't hear them talk. They just growl. And, you know, So when he is sent out on that second mission with the others, he kind of notices that when he's in the housing projects with one of the other female soldiers, he's shooting at roaches, but she's shooting at what looks like humans. Like some of the beings that he sees are humans, and he realizes, he's trying to protect them, and he's like, because he thinks they're humans, and he's just like, hey, don't be afraid, like I'll protect you. And then she's over here like shooting them, so they get in a struggle. The two military members do, and eventually, he gets injured, and this lady takes him. What he sees is this lady that kind of takes him with her son kind of down like into this hidden underground area, and she's explaining to him, you have this implant that makes you see us as non-humans, but it's kind of like a political manipulation, if you will. So, it kind of brought up for me like these ideas about this show does this a lot for me. It brings up these ideas about the future, about technology, about how technology is manipulating our current method of interacting with the world, interacting with each other. We don't really see it fully because, it's easy to see what we want to see. It's easy to see what we benefit from. Examples. I like podcasting. It's fun. I'm spouting out ideas. I mean, of course, many of them are from my own perspective, but I'm willing to admit that on a lot of things I might be wrong. I don't know everything on the face of the planet. And so, I do understand that there are things that I believe that I do have my own opinions and perspectives on. But then there are other people out there that believe exactly the opposite, and to them, their points are just as valid as my points are to me. And so I'm willing to admit that, even though I still might think I'm right, I still can hold space for other people to feel like they're right and not really have to make waves about most things. Some things, if I think about things like abuse, things like human rights, manipulation of information, withholding of information that's important. These are things that are important to me. I think everyone has the right to accurate information, to adequate health and education, to adequate opportunities for work and to support themselves and create a life for themselves and their family, or even have access to land that they can live off of, where they can like grow and support their family. They can grow food, they can have a job where they make and sell things, provide a service that they sell in exchange for money. I don't believe that everyone has to use like a monetary system, but I do believe that everyone, especially those who are, in favor of human rights and aren't violating others' rights, should have access to those things. I know there are people out there that don't even believe that, to me, that's kind of like the general of what I believe. But I know that there are a lot of people out there that think, though, if you're from a certain religion or you're from a certain race or whatever, you don't deserve those things. You're lesser, you shouldn't have it. I don't really believe that way, but there are people out there that I know do believe that way, for example. But when we start talking about things that are, technology based, I guess what this episode kind of brought to my mind was that the technology that is used by humans, a lot of it we use to entertain ourselves, to advance our knowledge or information. But then there is this other side to things that is controlling what we have access to knowing, what we have access to viewing. I'll give simple examples. Simple examples. I mean, I've talked about it before, but algorithms. Algorithms promote, not always, but to me, I see that potentially one of the main purposes of an algorithm is to keep people engaged with bypassing the process of really having to think through what you're going to type and engage with next, content-wise. I'll give you an example. Early days of YouTube, you would go into YouTube, you would type in, I don't know, think about the first thing you started watching on YouTube. The first thing I started watching was music videos. My friend, you know, I used to watch music videos on Yahoo Music or whatever it's called on a desktop in the family room of my family's house. So there's a TV, there's a couch, and then there's a little office looking area, but there's no wall there. So, and the computer screen was facing, you know, where the couch was. So whenever someone's on the computer, unless your head or the chair was blocking the screen, everyone else who was in the living room could see what you were looking at. And I would watch music videos, you know, I'd have headphones in usually, but people could see what I was watching. And I remember watching Creed music videos and all kinds of music videos. And one of my friends told me, you know, why do you watch music videos on there? You should watch them on YouTube. YouTube has other videos. That's the first thing I started watching. And then, you know, there were home videos. It was mostly home videos posted. And I don't know what I was watching. I was just watching, like, whatever. I don't know how it developed into me watching what I watch now. But, you know, I used to watch people like Chris Perillo. Some techie stuff. I don't know, probably, like, workouts when P90X was like newer, and you know I didn't want to buy it, so I would watch people working out doing P90X and I would do the P90X along with them. All kinds of things. But YouTube back then was not what it is now. I had to like think about it, search for what I wanted to watch, and then I would watch it. Nowadays I find myself, like many people, on YouTube, scrolling, right? I'm scrolling through things that are already being recommended to me. I'm not even typing. I have to remind myself sometimes, stop, think, type something in that you want to actually see. And it takes me a little bit. It honestly takes me a bit. I'll be like, huh, what am I interested in seeing? What am I interested in watching or listening to? And I have to think about it. Because when I'm scrolling, I'm not thinking about what I actually consciously want to watch. It's bypassing a conscious system. I'm scrolling. And then if something instantaneously catches my attention, then I click it and I watch it. And then whatever's recommended after that, I watch it. I would probably say, up until recently, that was more so how I would watch things. And the reason why I say that is because, you know, I have multiple Google accounts, like a lot of people do. I have multiple Gmail accounts, and I opened a new YouTube subscription on a different Gmail account, an account where I don't have any subscribers on this account. I don't post any videos of my own personal stuff on this account. I barely started subscribing to anybody on there. I have like 3 playlists or something, maybe 4 playlists. It's new. I've watched it for maybe 15 days so far, and it's already getting an idea of what I want. And I went back today because I was like, you know, I can't remember the name of this one YouTuber. I can't remember their name at all. And I went back to the main channel that I usually have my subscription under, where I have purchased movies, purchased, you know, TV series. I've purchased not like a whole lot of stuff, but it's the only account that I've actually purchased stuff on. It's the main account that I've used almost all the time, and all my main playlists are under there. All of my subscriptions are under there. It's kind of the main YouTube channel that I've posted my YouTube videos under, my own personal ones. Everything is under that channel. And it was surprising to me, guys, when I went back into that channel today, just after 15 days, and just scrolled around a little bit, there was stuff in there that I was like, I forgot that I liked this. Navajo Man and Lakota Bay. I watched their YouTube channel. I'd forgotten altogether because I'd been like for the past 2 weeks warped into like some other stuff on another, you know, YouTube subscription. And so it's not even showing all the old stuff that I usually watch. It's only showing what I've been into for the past couple weeks. So there are a lot of channels that were coming up with, like, you know, stuff that has the bell notification clicked where I could see, like, oh, wow, there's all these episodes of stuff that I didn't know were out, and these channels that I have forgotten to check back in on. And I've been just warped into these other channels. Now, on this new YouTube subscription, and, you know, that I've been, you know, on this other account watching, it's all kind of the same stuff. It's all like political stuff, financial political stuff, and like tech and like small business creation, entrepreneurial stuff. There's not much deviating outside of that. There might start being some stuff about workouts and everything, but it's only what I've been watching like the past couple weeks. Like, you know, none of it's like the stuff that I've been watching for like years, right? So even within 2 weeks, I already see the difference. And I notice when I am scrolling on the newer one, I'm scrolling and I'm like, I can't find anything because it's so boring. Like, it's so limited. It's such a limited amount of categories of stuff that I've watched, because it's only been 2 weeks and I've only been just like delving into like the same stuff. Versus my other, you know, area, it's a lot more. There's a lot more variety. And so, you know, I'm actually getting bored with YouTube, you know, having this new, you know, set of categories, because I'm like, I don't really want to think about these only, but then I'm like having a little bit of trouble thinking outside the box to like click on something to actually watch. I started noticing this in the last couple of days. I was like, you know, I'm kind of like bored with YouTube. Whereas before, I was never bored. Like, YouTube was always like one of my main sources of like content, entertainment, over Netflix, over video games, over everything. I'd probably say I consume most things off of YouTube. That was weird. Do you not think that's weird? That's weird, right? That's just one example of how an algorithm is pretty powerful. And, you know, it's all my brain. Like, it's me that's thinking on both accounts. But one is very much attached to like multiple interests of mine, and the other is just what I've been kind of binge watching about for the last like 2 weeks or something. So I'd say maybe it was a couple weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago now, maybe I talked about it, maybe I didn't, where I was watching a lot of content about migrants that were coming into the US and some other European countries, fleeing from all these other countries. It's kind of a little bit historical and some of it's current. Like, some people from Syria, talked about Iraqi refugees, it talked about migrants from Nigeria, migrants that are getting stuck in Libya, migrants that are from all over the place, you know. Venezuela, coming into the US and all these kind of places. All the places they're fleeing, all the places they're coming into. Now, I had binge watched a lot of that on my main space that I usually watch on. I wasn't watching that on the new newly subscribed channel that I'm actually paying for now. And it wasn't really meant to be a test. But it's kind of interesting. I'm kind of thinking that it could be interesting to set up a new Gmail account every month and just subscribe to YouTube and pay the $18.99 subscription with like a clean slate. You know? How interesting would that be? You know what I mean? So, I don't really know. I mean, that's only algorithms. But if you think about it, it's like, it just goes to show. You know, I'm getting bored with YouTube because I'm getting recommended like the same stuff I've been watching, only in the same like two or three categories. And it's boring to me now because I want to move on to something different, but I'm like, you know, it's kind of harder to think about what to watch. Like, I've gotten out of the habit of like having a curiosity and being like, oh, I want to watch this, or oh, this is piquing my interest. I just go with what they recommend. Like, I don't do that 110% of the time, but it's gotten to a point that I am noticing it more and more, that that's how I consume content. And I've been off my phone a lot more too, because I don't really want that content. I don't really want to watch it because I'm bored of it now. I'm over it. And, you know, because I'm bored of it, I'm just not even searching for other stuff. So for people that are having trouble, you know, with getting off of YouTube or staying up too late or whatever, that's one thing I would recommend. Just get another account set up. And, you know, if you have to think about it, you're probably not going to search that much, you know, because the way it's set up is, you know, it gets you in this habit of searching, of scrolling for that little dopamine hit. You get a little dopamine hit. And, you know, I literally got bored of it because I'm not getting the dopamine hits. Like, I scroll and it's the same YouTube channel all the time almost. And I'm like, I don't want to watch this guy anymore. And I can't think of anything else I want to watch, so I just shut it off. I'm like, I don't want to watch this. I'd rather read a book, you know. I have a book sitting right next to me that I find a lot more interesting right now than opening up YouTube. I'm like, I'd rather watch this book. I'd rather play Magic the Gathering. I'd rather study the Talmud. I'd rather write music. I'd rather do anything than go back onto YouTube and try to, like, think of something else. And that's just one simple example. If you think about algorithms, it's like people who are having trouble controlling how long they stay online, you might want to think about how the algorithms are playing a role in that. Because they know what you like, and then they recommend a whole bunch of it to you. And the longer you've been engaging with it, the more variety of stuff it has to recommend to you. When you don't have that variety, there's less that it can recommend. Less variety for it to recommend. And every now and then, it's like a wild card. And it tends to be kind of dark stuff, I've noticed. It's always like, you know, mother of 12, you know, and like six of the children were found missing or something. It's like some weird, like, murder mystery stories and stuff that I really don't care about that kind of crap. I'm like, no, don't recommend this ever, you know. So, that's just one example. But think about how much else, you know, marketing, for example. If you don't pay for YouTube, you're getting bombarded with ads over and over and over. I mean, there's, you know, what do you call it? The people who promote the sponsors. So there are sponsors that are kind of that YouTubers build in to their episodes, and they talk about it. So you can't fully get away from ads unless you're watching things where nobody's sponsored. There's no affiliates, nothing. There's not really an option to fully get away from the advertising. And The reason why I went back and paid for YouTube again, I was actually trying it for like a day or two without renewing my subscription. I was like, oh, let me not renew my subscription. And after 1 or 2 days, I was like, if I'm gonna watch YouTube, I'm literally gonna have to, do something completely different. 'Cause it was so annoying having so many ads. It was just so ridiculous. Like, I was getting so pissed off. Like, a video that was like 15 minutes would have like an ad like every 2 minutes. I was like, I just can't take this anymore. And the ads were so long. It's like the amount of ads, if you would have added up all the ads, it would have been longer than the video itself. I was like, this is too much. It's too much for me. It's too ridiculous for me. It's too much for me to handle. Like, and I was like, screw it, I'm paying the $18.99. Like, I don't really care. But I was like, let me pay it on a different account, you know? Because I want like a new experience. And I definitely am having a new experience. Now, I haven't really fully gotten to talk about like kosher phones and like the Hasidic community and kind of what they've been updating about like phones and smartphones and internet and stuff like that. I'm very curious, very interested in their take on things. And I know that the Amish are having like a struggle of a lot of people getting interested in smartphones or sneaking them around more and more and more. It's becoming an issue in a lot of communities that people almost can't avoid having smartphones. I remember when not everybody had a smartphone, and now, government issues smartphones for free. Like, you have access to them no matter if you even have money. I'm not saying like people who don't have money shouldn't have them. I'm just saying if you think about how it's changed, how much the first iPhone cost, how much the new iPhone costs, and then you think about, I mean, I'm not saying that the smartphones are like the government issued phones are like really super good, but it's like it's probably better than like an old school flip phone, honestly. It does more than that. But they are like glitchy and weird. I've heard about how they can be glitchy. And some people have had bad experiences with them. But it's just a lot of food for thought, what else would you say can be considered a technology that has a manipulative quality to it that kind of bypasses human consciousness? There's a lot of it, and there's more and more coming out. I mean, VR, I haven't really had too much experience with it. I had a friend who has it, and that's, or just like I've tested it out and stuff, but I've never owned it. And things are getting to the point where it's like people are gonna get more and more interested in like buying into more and more things. For example, I'm trying to, transition careers toward a tech direction. And it worries me because I'm like, well, I'm already going to be online all the time. I'm already going to be working online all the time. Do I want VR? Because I'm going to be, what am I going to be like immersed in like this fake world all day long, I was talking to someone the other day where I was like, I do work online, I study online, my entertainment's online. My hobbies are online. Now I have hobbies that are not online. I like the gym, I like the beach, I like snowboarding. I'm going to Comic-Con tomorrow in LA. I have a lot of things that I actually do enjoy that don't have anything to do with that, that I can just be like, okay. Like, it's not really a big deal, you know what I mean? So there's stuff like that. Where I'm just kind of like, it's there, but it's not that big of a deal. So, I'm not really like worried, concerned, bothered, but you know, I get a little bit like, how shall I say? There's some concerning aspect when I start thinking about, you know, seeing videos and movies about the future and stuff. I'm like, we are not that far from any of this stuff in Black Mirror. It's all like right there, you know. It's just like, maybe it doesn't like actively exist, but it can exist. A lot of the stuff that's in that, in those different episodes, could exist easily, and we're like not even a full step away from it. It's just, you know, people would have to build it and everyone would have to engage, but it's possible to build. Like, all of it, most of what I've seen, I haven't seen every episode. I don't watch the super, super intense ones or the ones where, I have nothing against like people from the UK or British people or Irish people or, you know, people from over there, but, you know, sometimes I have a hard time with the accents, and like, especially when I'm just trying to like veg out and just like relax and not really think too much, like pay too deep attention, I feel like. Sometimes it's hard for me to watch shows where they have like deep accents, and then I'm like, oh, like, so I do kind of skip those, to be honest, even though I feel like they seem interesting. But I usually kind of watch it when it's like, you know, like I'm honestly having a hard time finding stuff that I'm interested in, even in Netflix, to watch. I feel like a lot of it's really negative. A lot of it's really heavy. It's really, really hard to find something happy, funny. I mean, comedy's good, you know, but almost every time I find like a movie or a show or something, everything's getting darker and darker and darker and heavier and heavier and heavier. And yeah, there is comedy out there. There is stuff out there that's fun and funny, but it's not the majority. The majority of the content is pretty dark. So I don't know. Like, there's I feel like there's, I don't know, are we too far gone? Because there's no going back. Unless some kind of destruction happens where we can't use smart devices and all these apps and all this stuff, it's almost impossible to go backwards. Most people aren't going to go backwards, you know. And the cultures who aren't engaged with the modern technology, are they healthier for it? Do they have the same opportunities? You know, I'll continue this conversation. It's good food for thought.